Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkandawire, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Happy Friday. I'm well, and how are you, sir?
I am well too. Thank you, and happy Friday to you too.
Yes, it's a preparation day. I hope you are getting ready for the Sabbath.
Indeed, indeed. I have a little cooking to do, but it will be done before the sun sets.
Ah, fantastic. Great to hear that. Great to hear that. All right, Pastor, let's wrap up the conversation on salvation. But as with most of our topics, there's always so much more to discover. And so we keep on learning and growing and sharing. So is it once saved, always saved? Or can one be lost after having been saved? Or can you be saved multiple times?
One can be lost, indeed, after being saved. Unfortunately, it would have been nicer if we were saved once and for all, like Christ died once and for all.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we live on earth still. So, no, you can indeed lose your salvation even after you have been saved. That is why Paul says, I still fight on, I still hold on to my faith, lest after I have preached, I be found an outcast. And so you have to hold on to that which you have believed. Now, speaking of Paul himself, this is what he says about himself, about his faith. I'm going to read a few texts today, since we are concluding. It's best we conclude with the word of the Lord. We'll read multiple texts. Let me begin with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Let's just read verse 7. This is what the Bible says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And so, in this, Paul is saying to us that it is a race. And you have to keep fighting so that you finish that race. You can lose your salvation if you don't hold on. So you have to hold on to the faith, fight a good fight, and keep on the track so that you finish the race.
So hang on, before you continue, Pastor. So when a person then loses a salvation, does it mean that God withdraws his salvation? Exactly how is it? How does it happen?
So God withdraws nothing, because what God did is he sent his son to come and take the sin of the world at the cross. Christ bore the sin of the world. Now what happens is, because he has died, like Hebrews says, once and for all for everybody, what we do is, with that death on Calvary, we make a substitute for our sins, of our sins, with that death on Calvary. So we take on us his righteousness and we hand over to him our sins, because he has already paid for them. Unfortunately, should we continue sinning, that sin that we confessed and repented of and he forgave is then overtaken by our current sins. Thus, Paul in the Hebrew says, there is no longer pardon for sins that we continue to do, knowing that we are doing them deliberately. That's what happens. And so God does not withdraw his salvation. We simply reject it later on. We say, okay, I have repented of my sins today, and then tomorrow you go back to your sin. You have rejected that salvation.
I see.
That's what I see.
All right. Please proceed. Please proceed.
So after having spoken about himself and how he ran his race, fought a good fight, and kept the faith, he then gives us admonition. This is what he says to us. That was 2 Timothy. This is 1 Timothy, chapter 6 and verse 11 and 12. This is what he says. He says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Then verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You have confessed your sins. You have confessed Christ. You have confessed Christianity. Hold on to that good confession. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't let it go. Because if you do, then you are rejecting salvation and you lose your salvation in the end. Now, Romans chapter 6 says this. Now, Romans chapter 6 and chapter 5, I think I would recommend that we study them properly. They are very good for our admonition.
Okay.
Chapter 6 and 5 are complementary. Now, let's just read from verse 1, from chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. This is what Paul says in the book of Romans. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? Now, this question arises because in chapter 5, he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Mm. So he then said, so then shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Then in verse 2, he says, certainly not. And I like what the King James Version, the King James Version says, God forbid. But verse 2, I'm reading from the New King James Version. He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do we not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Being resurrected in the newness of life, we should walk therein. And then John, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, says, if we say we have fellowship with the Father, and then we walk in darkness, then the light is not in us. Then we lie and we don't have any light. And so after we have received salvation, we can no longer go back to sin, because then we lose that salvation because we reject it. Let me read two more verses before I allow you to ask further questions. Let me begin with John, the book of John, chapter 8. Now, this is Jesus and the woman caught in the very act of adultery. So, John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, this is what the Bible says. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Verse 11, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So Jesus Christ says, all right, now that there is no condemnation from any human being, neither do I condemn you. In other words, he is saying, I have forgiven you. Now, he has to say, neither do I condemn you, because his act of taking away the sin of the world is yet to be done. And if he had said to her plainly what his mission was, she would not have understood it. And so he simply says to her, neither do I condemn. What he actually means is, I have forgiven your sin. The reason he forgives it is because the woman was contrite. She had remorse of her sin when her accusers accused her when they brought her to Jesus. So seeing her remorse, she confessed it in her heart, and Jesus forgave it. So having forgiven it, he then says to her, go and sin no more. Now, if her salvation was guaranteed and she could do whatever she pleased, then Christ would not say to her, go and sin no more, because he has already saved her. So to ensure that she does not lose her salvation, he has to tell her, go and sin no more. Now, this is, this I want to read. This is very beautiful.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And this is where I'm going to end for now.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, when Jesus says to this woman, go and sin no more, he is saying to her, in my power, I am going to hold you in my power and I'm going to enable you to sin no more. And so when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, he does not just say, okay, so this one has come, this one has come. He then empowers us to sin no more. He gives us, like the servant of the Lord tells us, aid on every hand so that we may persevere and make it to perfection. Because the Bible says it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so when we go to see no more, we don't go in our power. We go in the power of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful.
But this is what I like about what Paul says to the Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Why fear and trembling? Because if we are not careful, if we don't hold on to the faith properly, we can lose it and we can lose our salvation. And so to be careful, do so in fear and trembling, lest you lose your salvation. So it's possible to lose it if we are not careful.
Yeah, but very scary, but exciting also at the same time. Now, how can I know for sure that I am saved? Is there not an element of arrogance in such an assumption?
There should not be any arrogance, because scripture is plain about how you know and how you keep it. So again, I'm going to throw a few more texts at you, so please bear with me.
That's all right.
All right, let's begin with John, 1 John chapter 1. This is John the Apostle, and he writes in his first epistle. This is what he says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess our sins, Jesus, God, is faithful and just to forgive us. So how do we know? First thing is faithfulness of God.
Yep.
God is faithful. That's how we know, because he is faithful. If he were like us, then we would be doubtful. But because he is God and he changes not, and he is good and faithful, then we know that because he doesn't change, when we confess our sins, he then forgives us. So at the confession of our sins, we know he will forgive. And so we know that we have salvation because we have confessed our sins. Now, let me just drill it a little more. Romans chapter 8. So first thing to know is the faithfulness of God, because he is faithful. So we know we can trust him. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through to 17. Now, it's quite a long passage. I'll not read the whole thing. Let me try. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 17. Let's see. I will stop if I make the point.
That's all right.
Verse 12, the Bible says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I think I can make my point right there.
Yeah.
But it's nice to just read up to verse 17. But God says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if we live according to the flesh to please the flesh, then we are living according to sin and we will die. But if we are led by the Spirit of God, then we know we have salvation because we are then the sons of God. And so how we know we have our salvation is when we are led by the Spirit of God. When we are led by God's Spirit, we don't do as we would in the flesh. We do as the Spirit would lead us. And so there is no room for arrogance because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is the one leading, the heart humbles itself. So there's no arrogance whatsoever. Now, let me jump to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. This is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when we present ourselves to God, we then become led by the Spirit of God. We become a living sacrifice, that such that our lives are lived for the glory of God. Then we know that we are the sons of God and we have our salvation. Then we know for sure salvation is guaranteed. First Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I have two more texts before. First Peter chapter 1, verse 5. This is what the Bible says. Let me begin from verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. That's what we have been called to. So he's speaking about the children of God being called to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, which is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Now, Peter is saying to us that we have been called to a salvation that is ready right now. It is simply waiting to be revealed. And so because it is ready right now and it shall be revealed later, in the now we are kept by faith through the power of God for that very salvation. And so when, like Paul says in the Romans, God then adopts us and we become led by his Spirit. We present our bodies, ourselves to his will. We become led by his Spirit. Then, like he says to that woman, go and sin no more. He keeps us in his power, so much so that we are preserved for the salvation which he has already granted us, which is to be revealed later. Now, let me conclude this way.
All right.
Jude, verse 24, says this. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The reason God keeps us from falling when we present ourselves to him, when he leads us by his Spirit, is because it gives him exceeding joy to present us blameless before himself at the last, when Christ shall come take us home. It gives him immense joy. And as a result, he will keep us from falling because he will keep us in his power. John chapter 6. Now, this is where I end now. Okay. John chapter 6, verse 39. If you have time, you could read verse 37 as well. But let me read verse 39 only. Verse 39 of John chapter 6 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." The will of the Father is that when we become saved, when we confess our sins, when we become children of God, we are never lost. That is his will. And so, by his Spirit, through Jesus Christ, through faith, he will keep us in the race so we can hold on to the faith, fight a good fight, and win the crown at the end of it all in the power of Jesus Christ. Now, because we are kept in the power of Jesus Christ, we must adhere to what Paul says in Romans 12. Subject, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. When we do that, Christ will keep us in his power so that we don't lose our salvation, because it is his immense joy to present us before himself in heaven, holy and acceptable without blame. That is what Scripture says.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff. Well, Pastor, I must say thank you so much for joining us this week and having spent the whole week with us here on AWR. Before you leave, before I let you go, we've been talking about salvation literally since Monday, and we've looked at every angle, every side of salvation until today. What's the one thing that listeners can take home with in as far as salvation is concerned as we wrap up?
It has been done. Christ won our salvation on the cross of Calvary. And because he has done it for us, it is easy now. We can simply just extend our hands and grab it. And we do so by confession of sin and by believing in him, by calling upon his name. And then we present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and we sin no more. And we do so in his power. So really, all we need to do is just present ourselves to God, and he takes it up from there. The rest is history. Salvation is the easiest to gain. Unfortunately, it is the easiest to lose. But when we hold on, we fight a good fight, we keep the faith, we will not lose our salvation, because Christ will not let us. He will keep us in the faith. He will keep us in the fight until our salvation is guaranteed.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, thank you so much. Let me allow you to go and prepare for the Sabbath. I do want to thank you so much for spending this afternoon and, of course, the rest of the week with us. Blessings indeed to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Blessings to you too. I have enjoyed myself, and I wish the people of God a happy Sabbath.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.